This is the Arsenal for Democracy. You're listening to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. The following segment was recorded on October 29th. The remainder of the show was recorded on November 4th. Joining me this week from Maryland is guest commentator Sasha. Sasha, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Bill.
So the story that you and I are going to discuss this week is about the Affordable Care Act exchange in the state of Kentucky specifically. Obviously, there's been a lot of attention in the last several weeks, particularly after the news of the shutdown was out of the headlines, that the Affordable Care Act federal exchange at healthcare.gov has been having a lot of problems, both in terms of handling traffic and, more importantly, in terms of handling actual requests to apply for insurance, which is the whole point of it. And there's no real getting around the fact that it has had problems, but they're not insurmountable. And it's not like people are being denied health insurance right now, because it wasn't going to start anyway until January, and people have until early December to enroll. And it sounds like they're in the process of fixing it, and it should be pretty much up and running for the average consumer within, you know, the next few weeks. But there is a bigger story here, which is that that's the federal version, and states were also allowed to create their own insurance exchanges. Now, a whole bunch of states, as we've talked about in Arsenal for Democracy before, created their own exchanges. And, you know, there's examples like I think Illinois had one. There's Cover Oregon, which is the one in Oregon. And a lot of them basically were partly just to differentiate from the Affordable Care Act and the association with it being quote unquote Obamacare. So the sort of flagship one of these that seems to be impressing everyone and was impressing people before it even launched was this one in Kentucky called, I guess, Connect, K-Y-N-E-C-T. Nice play on words there with their state. And they, you know, were trying to pitch this for quite a while, basically get people to think of it as an in-state thing, which it is, instead of it being the dastardly communist Obamacare from the central planning office in D.C. And so, you know, the story here is that they put together their own insurance exchange, as every state is allowed to do. And the site is working really well, and people are having you know, no problems as far as we know signing up for health insurance through there. And of course, you know, there never was a federal insurance plan, so it's still the same whether it's through the state level, or the state website, or a federal website. But Kentucky decided to build their own website instead of relying on the federal website, and that, of course, in given the circumstances, looked like it seems to have been the right call. Sasha, what were your thoughts on kind of the big picture angle from this story about how it's working out in Kentucky?
What I basically took away from this is that, I mean, the logical conclusion is that the more a state embraces the Affordable Care Act the way it was designed, the better health coverage their constituents will get, and overall, the more healthcare that people don't have it will be able to have better access to it, I guess. And Kentucky did it right. You know, a lot of the states, especially those with Republican governors, you know, denied a lot of the provisions, and because of that, the people that live there are suffering, and they can't get the healthcare that, you know, Obamacare intended. So I think the main takeaway for me is that, you know, it works when you do what you're supposed to, and that's, you know, embrace it. So I think Kentucky definitely did that right for starters.
Right. You know, as I said, they have actually set up their own exchange website, not just an informational website. Some states like Delaware, you know, I found it puzzling that they didn't have their own exchange. It was just a website basically pointing toward the federal website and giving you a little bit of contextualizing information. I think it makes more sense to build your own site to meet your state's needs, especially since it is ultimately still done through the state, because that's how insurance is regulated in this country for health insurance. So, you know, and you were mentioning about this kind of divide between Democratic implementation and Republican implementation. A lot of this comes down to the legislatures, but specifically it comes down to the governors in many cases. We also saw, for example, that the governor of Ohio, with some various finagling that has produced screeches of unconstitutionality from the very upset Republican Party of Ohio. He, you know, he's this bedrock conservative guy who was known for just slashing appropriations wildly when he was in the U.S. House back after the Republican takeover in the early 90s. And he's now finagled it so that they can expand Medicaid coverage in Ohio. And that's going to cover a huge number of people. I don't know the stat in front of me right now, but it was, you know, for one state, it was a pretty impressive chunk of people just by accepting the Medicaid expansion. You didn't even have to provide extra money from your own state. It was all going to come from the federal government, but the Supreme Court ruling made it optional. And again, it's surprising to see these Republican governors. Well, it's great to see a few Republican governors like in Ohio and Arizona accepting these expansions. But it's puzzling to see some of them not accepting these things when they're given the option, whether it's the Medicaid expansion or the option to create their own insurance exchange site. In fact, the governor of Kentucky, Steve Beshear, is a Democrat, and he pushed this through with an executive order over the repeated objections of the Republican legislature, according to an article from Talking Points memo on October 28th by Dylan Scott. Beshear had to really kind of ram this through with executive orders, despite many votes to try to prevent it from the Republican-dominated legislature. And they were being so obstinate about it that they even tried to block the agency from setting up office space to manage the exchange. How petty is that? And he went ahead with it anyway over their objections, got this exchange set up, and it's working out great for people. People are able to enroll. So, you know, this is definitely well-deserved that he got a call from the president commending him on his work here. But I think it's great to see this Democratic governor showing them how it's done when these Republican legislators are busy basically trying to hurt their own state and their own people. They were given an option to do this on their own terms, in their own way, and they tried to fight it. And, you know, that brings us to another angle here, which is this irony of the states' rights side of it, right? So, you know, they're always crying about the federal government getting too big and that they want things to be reserved to the states. And here you've got all these states that are refusing to build their own exchanges and are therefore dependent on a federal exchange system. You know, once it's passed, it's passed. It's here. You can't pretend that it's not here. So why not go and do your customization and your individual tailoring? And clearly, I think it's working out in this case to have done it independently. And I think that's true for other states that did it independently as well. And so now you've got, you know, red states like Kentucky and blue states like Massachusetts that, of course, had its own system before the Affordable Care Act. And you've got all these different states from across the spectrum pursuing the states' rights agenda, even in states like Massachusetts that don't seem like they would, right? And it's working out for them. And then you've got all these other states that are refusing to do this for various reasons and are surrendering their ability to control this to the federal government, which, of course, is not handling it as well as could be hoped right now. Now, Sasha, you also wanted to talk a little bit about the design aspect, and I did as well. What were you thinking about that?
I just, you know, took a quick glance at it. I didn't really try to enroll or anything, but it is right. very simple. You know, there's just simple buttons, you know, enroll here, let's get started. There's different tabs for individuals, for small businesses and that sort of thing. And there's not too much text. A lot of these sites tend to just like blast information at you and that sort of thing. They have very simple graphics, very simple text. I think it makes it easy for people to kind of figure out which category they fall into and the easiest way for them to get their individual health insurance. So I think you had some more technical observations about how it's easier to use, and in that aspect it's a better design.
Right. So they had a quote here from the Kentucky Exchange spokesperson, right? And she said, we wanted to it to have a branded feel, but that was not the most important part. The most important part was that it works. I think a lot of people would say that simplicity is good website design. And specifically, according to this Talking Points memo article, it says, quote, from a design standpoint, Kentucky made the conscious choice to stick to the basics rather than seeking to blow users away with a state-of-the-art consumer interface. A big part of that was knowing their demographics. A simpler site would make it easier to access for people without broadband internet access, and the content was written at a sixth grade reading level, so it would be as easy to understand as possible. I mean, that makes it sound a little bit patronizing, but the intent is correct there, that you want the people who need to be able to get this insurance to be able to get this insurance, right? And that is both in terms of not blasting information, like Sasha said, at people, and also it's making it technically easier to use, because a lot of Kentuckians still don't have broadband internet access, you know, like many rural areas in the country, and the state is still predominantly rural. So there's plenty of people in Kentucky who do have access to that, but you got to make it so that everyone has equal access to it. And like Sasha said, if you look at the site, again, you don't have to try to enroll non-Kentuckians out there, but you can just look at the homepage. You can see that it is a very simplistic design. It looks like it's easy to use, and it's not like it looks like it's from 1996 and has flashing animated, you know, cartoons and WAV files playing in the background, right? So, you know, it's still a modern website. Maybe it looks a little bit older than some of the government websites you might be used to seeing. But, you know, it's not like cutting edge state of the art or anything like that, but it looks like it works fine. It's simple, and it does look, you know, it has that elegant simplicity, right? So, and that has certainly made it a lot easier and less crash prone to operate and use than the federal version. And again, this is an opportunity that states had to do their own thing and make it work right, and they chose, and some, a lot of them chose not to. The majority of them apparently chose not to do that. It seems like they would have benefited from taking Kentucky's approach rather than trying to just rely on the federal side. And of course, there's also the fact that the governor basically started pushing this through as soon as that Supreme Court decision came down in the summer of 2012 or late spring of 2012, that said that they were upholding this part of the Affordable Care Act. And they, you know, had a lot of testing stuff that went into it, as should happen with any website like this, but apparently didn't happen with the federal website for many reasons and at many points. But they mention here in this article about all the different testing points that they did, and they were testing different individual steps to make sure it all worked. And they were doing extensive actual sort of field testing, beta testing of it from July through September, so that it was ready to launch at the beginning of October, so that people could actually enroll. And in terms of the statistics, they said that, and this is what's been getting Kentucky a lot of attention here, is that in Kentucky alone, 26,000 people have enrolled in coverage, more than 50,000 have started applications, and more than 300,000 unique visitors have checked out what the marketplace has to offer. This is according to the Talking Points memo article. And so they have 625,000 uninsured people. And if 300,000 people have already looked at it, that's a pretty promising statistic that shows that they kind of knew what they were doing. And they've already got, you know, clearly are blowing away the numbers that we're seeing from the federal side, or not seeing because they aren't releasing a lot of those numbers. But, you know, this is proportionally a lot more successful than the federal side. It seems like they did this the right approach. And so I think that the takeaways here, to re-summarize, is that embracing the Affordable Care Act seems to make it work better, shockingly, that Democrats are handling this better than Republicans who are trying to push this away or hamper these efforts, that states that pursued this kind of states' rights option, it's working out better than the federal option, but ironically, a lot of the people that are traditionally associated with that ideology haven't embraced it. And finally, that this kind of design and architecture was put together a lot better and tested a lot better, and they kind of took a very good approach toward building that worked for their demographics and their needs in their state. And that is why Kentucky is working out as well as it is compared to the federal system.
I just wanted to real quick touch back on just the irony of it all, the fact that Republican governors and Republican state legislatures have just been so focused on denying every possible aspect of the Affordable Care Act that, you know, if they had taken the time to just create something that they liked better in their own marketplace and that sort of thing, you know, there could have been more wins than loses, I think, overall. And so it's just one of those frustrating but ironic sort of things.
Well, Sasha, thank you so much for joining us again here on Arsenal for Democracy.
Always a pleasure, Bill.